How many of you know it's not a crisis that makes the Word of God powerful to us? It's true. The Word of God was already powerful before the crisis came along. And that's something we just need to be mindful about today. And I want us just to look at that and consider, you know, it's the acting on the Word of God. It's the doing of the Word that makes the Word of God powerful to us. And, you know, it's the release of our faith. You know, that confident expectation. When we talk about faith, we talk about confident expectation. It's the release of our faith in the Word of God and our activation of God's Word in our lives that makes it powerful for us. So you can have the Word of God a bit like having a loaded gun and never actually pointing at it and shooting it. But it's when we get it in our heart and we speak it with our mouth that it becomes quite powerful. And, of course, it activates the Word of God in our lives. Praying it and saying it is such a key to the life that we're called to live. You know, understand, the storms of life come to us all. Storms of life, they come to us all. And how we end up in the storm or after the storm is completely determined by what we do with the Word of God on a daily basis. I mentioned earlier, I woke up this morning and I thought it was Monday. But for some reason, I started to say, well, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm just going to pray over my week. Just my first thoughts. I'm just going to pray over this week. And it was then that I had the realization it was Sunday and that I actually had some ministry to do and some things to attend to. But Jesus teaches us on the wisdom of being hearers and doers. It's great to hear the word. Great to be in church this morning, hearing the word, receiving the word through the worship. Awesome worship this morning, Hayley. Thank you very much, team. Fantastic. Amazing. Yes, let's put our hands together. I don't know about anyone else, but I could have probably just gone home on the worship this morning. Just sort of, you know, that was enough. I'm topped up. I'm all good to go. But, you know, Jesus teaches on the wisdom of being hearers and doers. Someone who acts on the word and does more than just hears it. And I want us to look at this scripture, Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27, and it says there, "Therefore everyone who hears these words of mine," this is Jesus talking, "and acts on them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." We know here in this church about rock man and sand man, but we're talking about rock man. "And the rain fell and the torrents raged and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock." Amen. And then, if we read on, it says, "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the torrents raged, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its collapse." You know, we have to understand that in a worldwide pandemic, the angels of heaven are not going to be quarantining themselves. All right? You know, they're not rostering off, leaving us with a skeleton crew. They are not going to be avoiding public gatherings. They're here just as they were before there was ever a pandemic. You know, and they're not... you know, we're on the side of the angels, all right? And the angels are on our side. And it's actually fair to say the angels are going camping. Yeah, they're going camping. Look at this verse. "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them." He encamps. They encamp. The angels are all around us. And, of course, the power of God is always released on behalf of those that fear him. Of course, that word fear, remember, I mentioned it before, it's in the context of reverential respect. You know, that great heartfelt respect for God and his kingdom. We have the promises of God to personalize and speak over our lives and our loved ones, and we should be. And, you know, a verse that we should all be very, very mindful of at this time is Psalm 91 and verse 10. Beg your pardon. Where's that gone? Looks like I didn't get it in there. Actually, this would probably be a good time to welcome Jess as she comes. She's going to read from Psalm 91.
Morning, everyone. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Such a good psalm.
Thanks, Jess. Hallelujah. Look, great scripture. I don't know how many times I've heard this week just people talking about Psalm 91, and again, Jess really had it on her heart there yesterday, and I thought it'd just be appropriate for her to come and just actually share that. You know, how important it is that we be a people who set our love upon God at this time, you know. And of course, you know, if we love God, we're going to have to love those around us as well, amen? And it's a real test for that, isn't it? But no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. What a great verse, what a great passage to have in our hearts and be speaking from our mouths at this time. Jesus didn't tell us to speak about the mountain. I like what you said there earlier, Haley, about, you know, about watching the news and just being full of the news and I guess, you know, being reflecting on the bad news all the time, but rather being a person that's speaking God's word and being around the word. Fear and what it brings. He told us to speak to the mountain, not about the mountain. That's great scripture for us to get a hold of. You know, and that activity will bring us into faith and releases us from the grip of fear. As soon as we start to speak the word, as soon as we start to actually make that our confession, what we're saying. You hear the bad report, but you speak the word. You say what the word says. And of course, my question to you, the whole congregation, is what are you saying? What are you praying? What are you putting out there? You know, what seed are you sowing? And I went there before, but Mark 11 and verse 22 and verse 24, Jesus taught his own disciples about these truths. He said, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, remember the mountain is a picture of something that's impossible to move, something that's bigger than what we are. It's okay. God's bigger than any mountain. Amen. Be removed and be cast into the sea. Look what it says, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. So our believing comes into it. You know, we you know, it's one thing to be having the word in our hearts and to be speaking it, but believing that word that's in our heart and actually speaking it is very important. He will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. You will have them. Amen. I also like Psalm 121 and verse 1 through to 8. It says, I lift my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? As we look at the mountain, as we ask that question, where does my help come from? When we look at that insurmountable issue and problem in our lives, whatever it might be, my help comes from the Lord. That needs to be our answer straight away. My help comes from the Lord. Amen. The maker of heaven and earth. If he can make the heaven and the earth, I tell you, he can shift your mountain. whatever it is, how big it is, he can shift it, he can move it. He will not allow your foot to slip. Your protector will not slumber. Indeed, the protector of Israel does not slumber or sleep. In other words, he's not knocking off because, oh, this is all too hard. He's on the job 24 hours, 7 days a week. Very important. And here is again where our knowing the leading of the Holy Spirit becomes a valuable capacity. You know, that leading and guiding of the Holy Ghost that we've been talking about, that sensitivity that comes from being tuned in, you know, that inner voice and that inner witness of the Holy Spirit. So very important that we be a people that are aware of that, wanting to be led by that in our lives. The Lord wants to lead us and guide us in all of the affairs of life. Our Heavenly Father knows that if there is a pathway that we have purpose that needs to be avoided in our comings and goings, He knows it. And don't you think it's, you know, to His advantage to let us know that, hey, don't want you to go there. I don't want you to head down this in that direction. Whether that be as we go out into the public or getting out with others, we ought to believe that the Lord would lead us and guide us and show us. Not just send us, you know, just allow us to go wandering off into a dangerous situation. How important is that? I remember very early in our marriage, I guess it was probably the first year of our marriage, Rosemary had given me furlough. I think they call it furlough, or leave to go out and spend some time with some old mates. And very rare in that first year of marriage, of course, you sort of hang fairly tight in that first year of marriage. And so Rose and I had been friendly with old friends of mine as well. I was wanting to catch up with these old friends. And these were friends that I had actually originally gotten born again with. And so I hadn't seen them for a while and wanted to catch up with them and of course, people that we knew from those days. And of course, I was keen to do it. And of course, the Lord spoke to me as I was getting ready very, very clearly and said, don't go. So I was getting ready and I was like really keen to go. You know, so we'd already arranged and I was going to be going over there and we're going to, you know, catch up. And the Lord said so very clearly, I don't want you to go. It was a kind of a difficult moment because the plan had already been made. Rosemary had already released me. And of course, as I say, that was kind of a little bit rare at that point. But the Lord said, don't go. And it was hard to obey that direction from the Lord. And actually got to the point, because I was sort of hanging on to that word myself. I wasn't talking to Rose about it. And at least twice or three times, I think it was. And I actually went to the car, to get into the car. And I heard the Lord say it again, I don't want you to go. So anyway, Rosemary thought I'd already left, and the next thing you know, I'm back at the door, unlocking the door and coming back inside. And I then said to her, I said, you know, the Lord's just said to stay home. You know, He doesn't want me to go. And so I rang up and, you know, I gave a reason that I just didn't feel that I was to go tonight or something else has come up. I certainly smoothed it over with my old friends. But, you know, the thing is, He didn't tell me why. Didn't give me the detail of why, didn't show me a picture of why that was that I shouldn't go. But the thing is that if we'll listen to His voice, He'll get us to avoid things. You know, listen to those promptings of the Holy Spirit, because sometimes it's not always an inner voice. Sometimes it's an inner witness. And it's just a little prompt from the Holy Ghost. Something's not quite right. And I believe at this time, particularly with current health issues and things that are out there, we need to listen to the Lord. You know, you go shaking someone's hand and the Lord says, don't do anything to that hand until you wash it. Listen in and go and wash your hands or whatever. You know, it's that type of awareness that we need to have at this time. Is that the Holy Spirit will give us a little witness that we need to do something about it. Amen. I think back and I've wondered what that was about over the years, and I know I avoided something. It was probably good for my long-term well-being as a believer, and I'm sure that's even impacting me now. Being obedient to the Lord is so important. When He speaks, when He says, do this, don't do this, step out here, don't step out there, you know, follow that along. Look what it says, the Lord protects you, the Lord is a shelter right by your side. The sun will not strike you by day or the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all harm. He will protect your life. The Lord will protect your coming and going, both now and forever. Good word. What a great confession to make as you start your day, as you go. The Lord will protect my coming and going both now and forever. Make that your confession as you go. He will protect your life, he says. And it's so important that we get a hold of that truth. Amen. And I like this one. In verse Psalm 32 in verse 7 to 8, it says, "You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance." You know those songs that we get that stir, you know, that come up in our heart through the week? We sing songs, you know, we only usually have about four songs, but we sing them enough for them to repeat. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And they come up during the week and they'll come up in your heart. There's truth in there that you need to be speaking, just singing it out over your life. And when that happens, don't fight it, run with it and allow that song of deliverance to be upon your mouth and in your mouth. And look what it says in verse 8, "And I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will give you counsel and watch over you." Is that a promise that we should be speaking out over our lives at this time? Absolutely it is. Absolutely. You know, we're into this series on the promise of God, and it's sort of dovetailing a little bit, just, you know, some scriptures out there that we can comfort ourselves with and know and stand on and be speaking out and be reminding ourselves about. But we have a very, very strong promise from that, from you know, our Heavenly Father, for us to walk in protection. And we really want to have that on, amen? And our faith out there believing for that level of protection to be happening in our lives. It's worth recognizing that the Holy Spirit will lead us in God's will for our lives. And not just the big steps, but also in the little steps. He wants us to know his will, and he's not holding it back from us. And we just need to acknowledge the Lord every day as we begin our day. And of course, during the day, the Bible says, you know, about, it talks about praying evening, morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud. And it says, and he will hear my voice. It's that vocal faith, that vocal believing that's so very important. This is also why we should develop our attentiveness and alertness, listening in our spirit to God's indwelling spirit, because he'll give us the word to speak. He'll give us the scripture that we need to be actually launching off and releasing and activating over our lives and over our loved ones. And remember, it's not here, it's here. You know, it's a spirit connection that we have with our Heavenly Father. God's a spirit, and they that what worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And there's that heartfelt connection. The Apostle Paul prays for the Colossians church, and I like it. Great passage, a real favourite for me. It says in verse 9, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." In verse 10, we'll read on, "That you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness." Amen? He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Again, amen. Yes. Amen. We recognize where we stand, you know, in the covenant that we have with God. Great message this morning in communion from Di, you know, just again reminding us that healing is a part of the atonement, you know what I mean? And that, you know, our faith needs to be strong like a force field around us, amen? You know, like a bubble that we you know, we walk in. There's a great confidence that we can walk in because of the Word of God. Why don't we all stand and pray this morning, and we'll ask the Lord a blessing on us all as we go out into our workplaces, our jobs, our families. Let's be those people that carry something of God's presence and certainly be a people of his word as we go out. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we again thank you, Lord, that we're a people of faith here in this church, Lord God, that we're a people that have your word in our hearts, but not just in our hearts, Lord God, but also in our mouths. Lord, that we're a people that, Father, know to speak your word and to agree with your word and agree with it by speaking your word, praying it out, saying it, Lord God, being reminded of it, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we thank you for the word that you give, the word that you send. Lord, your word declares that you sent your word and healed them. So we thank you for the work of your word in our lives. Lord, that we're a people that have built our house upon the rock of not just hearing, but doing your word. And Lord God, that we stir ourselves up in that through the week, Lord God, that we pull that Bible off the shelf, Lord God, that we open that Bible app, Father, and start to look for the word that you're speaking to us at this time and in this season. The scriptures that Lord, promise us the protection that, Lord God, we can walk in. And Lord, that we're a people that are active, encouraging one another to be strong in faith. God, we ask these things today in the precious name of Jesus, and I pray, decree, Lord God, protection over all your people, Lord God, this week, Father God. We say no pestilence will come near us, Father God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Amen.